Back Down South. Now, that was a big, big tune, taking us back to, well, I suppose, more than 10 years now. Kings of Leon broke on the scene in a way that was almost nostalgically comforting. The kind of music that one hadn't heard in terms of generic music for an awfully long time. Very lovely, almost folky lyrics and an easy groove. Good guitar work, harking back to the days of good music. You know, I'm kind of giving away my age here. But certainly they struck a chord globally and are still to this day a phenomenon. Sparking things like tribute shows. And this is why we're playing the Kings of Leon softly now, because talking about a tribute show is what we'll be doing right now with my very special guest, Judd Campbell. Judd is a man who... Well, he is an entrepreneur that has a spirit of adventure. And I say this because I've known Judd for an awfully long time. We used to love going to the Corner Cafe in Durban when Belito was a little sleepy hollow with not much happening. And there was this adventure. We would go to Durban, we'd go to the KZN gallery, look at the art, wander around, then scoot on down for breakfast to the Corner Cafe, which was always absolutely packed to capacity, and there was a vibe there that was a bit like a Tom Waits movie. It was a Tom Waits song waiting to happen. There were interesting people. There was discussions around tables about all sorts of things, but somehow it was a safe space. And in the middle of this was a man with wood framed glasses, sometimes odd looking, personal effects and things like that, that always caught the eye. Very, very bright, and he was like the ringmaster, and around him the circus would happen. Then we discovered he actually owned the place, and that was where our association began. Judd Campbell, my special guest this morning. Thank you so much for joining me on the Dave Charles Show.
Absolute pleasure. Thanks for having me.
So let's go back to the Corner Cafe for starters. This morning, I was very delighted to notice that our breakfast boiled eggs came on wooden platters with the Corner Cafe logo emblazoned.
You still got some?
Oh, yes.
Oh, fantastic.
That's the quality we're talking about. Yeah. 20 years later, it's still going strong. Jeez. Yeah, no, absolute. It was legendary. And you set the bar very high in Durban initially. The genesis of the Corner Cafe, I would love to know about, because it was really, it looked like initially it was probably just a little store. You converted it, and ultimately it became a cause célèbre. People used to travel, as we did, all the way from Belito to... I mean, you even sculpted a tree outside. A tree needed to come down, and the municipality decided it had to go. You turned it into a work of art. I mean, how odd is this? Wonderful.
It was a giant flamboyant tree, and it actually fell. And we, two guys approached us and they asked if they could put our logo into it. So they literally cut a heart into the tree. I got a little bit of flack. Some people think we cut it down to make the tree, to make the heart. But, the Corner Cafe was my first restaurant. I think you always remember your first. It was 2007, 13th of August, 5:30 opened in the morning. We always opened early and no one came until 8:30. I panicked. It was my dad's retirement, everything. He cashed in everything for that. And no one came until about 8:30.
So you and your dad went into business together.
It was actually myself and Anna Savage, but we went half-half, and she still is a brilliant chef. And I was front of house, she was back of house, and that was the plan, you know, to run a little bistro-type cafe. And her cooking was amazing, and all I had to do was run around and act like an idiot on the floor, and I loved it.
But there was so much creativity in things like the menu. You had the Selena Gomez and all sorts of curiously named delights.
We had one called Four Terrorists in a Cave. It was a long panini that we put meatballs in. But we wrapped it in foil and made it look like a bomb. And then we stuck a sparkler into it and we lit it. And all the staff had to, much like Spur, you go and sing, all the staff would come around, light the sparkler, and just jump out the windows and everything. It was like a little show we did. I don't know how we got away with that stuff, Four Terrorists in a Cave, but we used to sell a lot of those meatball sandwiches.
It was because of those moments of unusual humor intelligent humor. It was injected into almost everything you did. It was a brand that people gravitated to. You eventually had a collective. There was Nev the Barber part of the operation. There was an outside seating area. There was a bit of a nursery going on.
There was a nursery. There was tattoo. There was a lady doing yoga. There was a guy who installed solar. We were quite a green cafe, so we had worm farms. We also had wind turbines. And we try to take ourselves off the grid as much as possible. It was amazing. It was a little bit ahead of its time. I think our worm farm, I built it about 7 meters too long. At the time, it was bigger than the Mount Nelson's worm farm, and we were going through maybe 5 kgs of waste a day, and it wasn't enough to feed. We had to bring in cardboard boxes and stuff just to keep these things fed over weekends that we were closed. So it was ahead of its time, a big learning curve, but it was the most fun I've ever had. We ran a queue in lower Glenwood, unheard of. Yeah,
it was a time, sadly, that has passed. I think that area never really recovered from the COVID thing. We've been back occasionally to the gallery, and that is a sad reflection of its former self. But still, then the art is still, I'm sure, lovely. And funnily enough, the little restaurant in that gallery space serves good, just a good, honest fare.
Yes, yeah, it does.
But the corner cafe is no more. What happened? Why did it end?
I think it was getting increasingly hot. Everything went up: rental, electricity. You had to open at night to cover costs, and then you really saw what was around late at night.
Scary.
It was. It's kind of creeping up, you know, from Umbilo. So people weren't safe. We'd have bingo nights and that kind of thing, and it was a lot of fun, but a little bit sketchy. But I think everything's got a season, you know. It was an era, and it lasted nearly 10 years. My first restaurant, so it was, you know, it's always, I learned a lot, made a lot of mistakes.
What were some of the mistakes?
Some of the mistakes, I would say it was too big, you know. It was good in the beginning. We were running a queue, but as soon as it was 125-seater, you know, to keep that full all the time. If you opened a restaurant now, I wouldn't open a restaurant now, but if I did, it certainly wouldn't be more than a 30-40-seater, because as soon as you come in and there's, you're only 50% full, you look 50% empty, you know. People, and that's, it's like, ooh, corner cafe is dying a bit, eh? And it wasn't. It was just how it is. So I think I wouldn't go as big. I think other mistakes were kept trying to get bigger, trying to do more things, you know.
And I think often the case,
simplifying it would have been, yeah.
Managing growth is difficult, and then of course then ultimately comes a time when you start to try and downsize, and that is even more difficult.
Yeah, definitely. I think too big too soon is a problem. I look around and I see the places that are doing well. They smaller and they're owner run. You know, people want to go in. They want to know who's serving them. They want to know who. They want to know a little bit of backstory. And when it's too big, or you've got more than one store, I think it starts to, the cracks start to show, and you start to lose control.
Let's take a listen to the first of your choices of music for today.
Oh.
You're a Swiftie.
Oh, yes.
Why?
I think.
Please explain that.
My daughter tells everyone that I prefer Taylor to her, which is, and largely it's true. I don't think she's such a hard worker, you know. I love her tunes. I don't know. I know it's embarrassing at 50 to be infatuated with Taylor Swift, but that's just how it is. I've got no control over that.
Taylor Swift on the Dave Charles Show. The first song choice of my guest, Judd Campbell, who's in with me this morning, a man who has built a reputation on being himself, which is unusual in this day and age, to go your own way. Have you always marched to the beat of your own drum?
I didn't even know I was doing it. Yeah, it kind of just is. The whole family's like that, you know. We don't stick to the norm, I guess.
What were you like at school? I don't imagine you would have been quite an interesting...
Oh, God, you're going to go down there. I was doing really well, junior school, fourth in standard four, fifth in standard five. Then I went to high school and I went to Western Agricultural College. and it just ended. I think I failed standard 7. A friend of mine changed my marks, climbed through the roof for 100 rand in the 90s. He got caught, but I got through standard 7, standard 9 I failed, and matric I failed. So yeah, from doing relatively well academically, the wheels came off.
I have a suspicion it's because you are an incredibly intelligent human being with possibly a little bit of ADHD chucked in there, which means that you just are not interested in stuff that bores you.
I couldn't possibly study. It just wasn't... It was so much to do, you know? And also, going from a normal school in Howick to a farm school, there was 3,200 hectares, so you could disappear. We'd go down to the river. There wasn't a hell of a lot of... you didn't get into that much trouble for not doing well, you know? Provided the farm ran, and the boys managed the farm, and if you had a good head boy, the school ran well. If you had a bad head boy... Because the teachers just taught you. That's how it ran. Luckily, in my first year, it was 8, 9 and matric, and then they opened for 6s and 7s, and I was the first group of standard 7s. And I think 44 of us arrived on the first day, and I think before the end of the first term, there were only 22 of us left. So,
wow.
And some guys ran through a 9-foot electric fence and got onto the freeway and just never came back. It was quite a rough school, quite a harsh school. I think I would have also left, but when you get a chance to phone home for the first time, my dad said, "How's it going?" I said, "It's rough. I don't want to be here." And he's like, "I bought the uniform. You're going to have to at least finish, you know?" So I think the kids that did stay were either big into farming. For me, it was just a shorter school day. It was 8 till 1. Howick was 8 to 3:30. So I thought it was an easy way out. I didn't know that the level of farming we'd have to do and waking up in the morning.
You didn't matriculate, or did you later?
Never.
So you have no tertiary qualifications?
Not even slightly.
And yet you have... we prequeled this conversation by saying you a man who marches to the beat of his own drum, and you are doing that extraordinarily well, if I might just add. You changed the nature of the coffee industry in Durban and in environs by creating little coffee outlets after the Corner Cafe period was up. You went into coffee and in an extraordinary way. Tell us that story.
Yeah, I started off with the Love Coffee on Windermere Road. I always had a plan to open a little hole in the wall. And Love Coffee was the first one. It was on a popular route to Durban North schools and Durban North parents coming into Morningside schools. I thought it'd be a good thing. It did. It worked. It was a great... We had a lot of good designers on board, Brandon Roberts, the architect, and that helped us with everything. And that pumped. And then, sadly, I lost that one in the divorce, which is fine. My daughter's middle name was actually Coffee, because my ex-wife, Jeannie, had Love Coffee, and I had Coffee Tree. So I actually wanted to call it Double Macchiato, but Jeannie wouldn't allow that. then Coffee Tree, and then... Coffee Tree 2. We even opened up here at the workstation.
You met your wife during the restaurant days, I think it's fair to say.
Yes, I met my ex-wife at Yossi's in Glenwood, which Yossi's was the first... I was actually waiting for a visa to come through to go to Scotland. And I met her there, and one thing led to another. We've got an amazing kid. We just grew apart, no hard feelings, but it was just not meant to be.
But you worked together for a while.
Yes, she came into the Corner Cafe towards the end. She was in clothing, but she came into the Corner Cafe and took over when I bought my business partner out, Anna Savage. And we did very well for a long time. But again, everything's got a season, and that ended, and I moved on, and she took over the coffee, Love Coffee, and I took over the Coffee Tree, and that was our different routes, and it was magic, yeah. But then I got to, again, didn't learn from the Corner Cafe, so I opened tuck shops. I even had we had a political chicken takeaway called Politics, and I vote left and right wing. We played around with all those silly things. But it was too much, and when COVID came along, it was the perfect way to get out of everything. I had like 5 shops, 2 tuck shops. It was just one shop was doing well, so that was paying off the other. It was a nightmare.
So you were actually one of the very few that was actually able to benefit from COVID in a sense that you could legitimately restructure, refocus, change everything.
Completely. I mean, I just got out of, I kept only the coffee tree. It was the only one doing well. The others were, lockdown, So it was a perfect excuse. The landlords had to let you go. Everything was just perfect. Mm. Yeah.
Then we lost contact with Jada. I say we because there was a community of people. And you were very much the, as I say, ringmaster of that show. And then the show ended, and it was almost as if it was bereft for a while. What would happen in terms of general societal entertainment on an intellectual level that was fun? We were waiting for you to do something. And who knew that you would pop up on the North Coast, very close to where we are right now, with a venture that has proven to become, to be, extreme, like everything you do, you have that touch. I'm sure it's hard work and it can't all be easy, but you tend to turn a pig's ear into a silk purse. And you've picked up essentially a couple of empty containers on a piece of grass. Tell us the story behind Dopamine.
Dopamine, again, I must sound like I'm the most creative. I was looking for a dark cave. My father passed away. I wanted to get out of Durban. I came up here. I found an empty 40-foot container with a pizza oven next to it. I was doing pizzas and at the coffee tree. And then there was a yoga studio, and my dad was a yoga teacher. So it seemed like, I'm not a hippie, tie-dye kind of guy, but it seemed like there was a reason I was there. I spoke to the landlord, said, this is what I want to do, dark kitchen, no customers, a couple motorbikes coming in, Uber Eats. I don't want to see people. They're like, great, what do you want to pay? Paid the deposit, and that's how it started. The problem was the first day, I think it was the 2nd of April last year, two years ago, we opened up, and a lady came and said, how long have you been open? I said, 47 minutes. We've just opened. She said, can we have a disco here for 60 kids and then 30 adults in the back? And that was first month, broke even. And then everyone's been telling me to come up here for years, but I was a Glenwardian. I didn't want to jump ship. But it's been an amazing success story, really. It was so much easier to fill this restaurant now than it has been all the other restaurants I've worked in. And I think there's obviously a little bit more money up here, but they're happier. They want something different. They respond to a big grass open space with kids climbing in a tree and no Wi-Fi.
So you've changed from the dark kitchen to a restaurant.
Oh, I mean, I would have loved to stay as a dark kitchen, but they kind of steamrolled me. We had to cut the grass, run lights, and now we are full. Well, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we open 4 to 8. Again, it's shifting again. I know I sound like sure because I keep reinventing myself, but now we're moving more towards a events venue. We've got events booked up, right? And we've got a wedding next month. It's kind of running away from me.
Oh, yeah. It's exciting. And this is really the reason that you're here today, because there's an event this long weekend that we want to promote. But let's take a little interlude again with another of your tunes. Fat Boy Slim, here we go. Oh. From the sublime to the ridiculous.
We had to sweep the nightclubs in London, or the pubs, we'd play this song and then sweep. Good memories.
And at 18 minutes to the top of the hour, 18 minutes to 11, we're back with Judd Campbell. Many restaurants and excitement venues now, North Coast, Dopamine. That's D-O-U-G-H, Dopamine. There's a play on words, as always with Judd. It's never quite what you would imagine, but it's an excellent, excellent venue, and many folk have discovered the joy of an informal restaurant set, because that's really what it is. It's a very informal restaurant. You can sit on the lawn if you want, and to bring your picnic blankets and buy pizzas and have a good time. But you have built a stage there, it looks like.
We're building a stage.
This is the first move towards a new dawn of entertainment on the North Coast. What are you doing this weekend?
So there is quite a big demand for live music. We've been getting a lot of requests, a lot of musicians, a lot of bands wanting to play. So we've introduced, we're starting this Saturday, called Backyard Bands. And it'll be, we'll just get bands in and let them have a go, you know, especially some of the Oaks are not too popular, some of the bigger bands. We'll just go with anything and everything. But it starts off this Saturday with the Wednesdays. So last week, I get a message on my phone from a guy, Daniel, and he said, I'm leaving a ticket for you at La Montagne. We're doing a show down there, tribute to Kings of Leon. Like, I mean, for me, it's flattering, it's fantastic, but I mean, I don't know much about music other than Taylor Swift or Fatboy Slim. So I went down there with a mate, and the vibe was amazing. The music was great. Everyone was happy. And I just waited for intermission. I said to them, guys, are you free Saturday? And that's kind of how it started. So they will be the first. The Wednesdays will be the first backyard band playing this Saturday at 4 o'clock.
Doing the Kings of Leon.
Kings of Leon, yeah.
Okay.
Very excited.
4 o'clock's an unusual time for entertainment.
It's, you don't want to be sitting in the sun too early. So that winter sun at 4 o'clock is perfect. That's okay. How we're saying. Even if it rains, we've got undercover. So it's not... But yeah, and then the next one, we will build a stage and we'll just keep growing it like everything. You know, it just grows organically, and that's the next evil plan, to do live music once a month.
So what is the form? Is there an entrance fee?
Yeah, it's all on web tickets. It's 200 Rand a head. You could bring your own picnics, your own alcohol, everything. Just come and chill on the grass. We'll have Vos rolls for sale and that kind of thing. And soft drinks if you want, but it's we want to offer an affordable afternoon. And I think to do the bottomless pizza, we've done it so many times, and it's not like we'll stop. It's just, you know, it's absolute chaos when you've got 150 people wanting pizza. So we're going to do this one, and all the profits we make will go to the Backer Buddy for my daughter, for Riley, for the South Korea thing.
Yes, she was on the other day talking about, she's a Springbok now.
Riley Khaleesi.
Springbok Lego builder.
Yeah, she's. I look at it every time I go to one of the competitions. I still don't know what's going on. They take a robot, they code it, they wrap it in Lego. It's got arms, it can do challenges, and then there's another table next to it with the same obstacles. And that was 4 years ago. Then they went to Joburg and they won, and they went to Cape Town and they came in the top. Now they're in the top four in the country, so they go to South Korea on the 3rd to the 5th of July to compete in the Worlds. My 14-year-old daughter is competing in the Worlds for first Lego League.
Wow. Wow.
And that's as much as I know about it.
And it's expensive to get there.
It's ridiculous. But we've got a company approached us, iInnovate, nicest people on earth, and just said, can we do you a matching sponsorship? So if you get a rand, we'll give you a rand. So we're two-thirds of the way there, and with a little luck, with a good show this Saturday, we're off. Yeah.
So it's going to be fun with a mission.
With a cause, yes.
Which is always the best kind of fun.
Definitely, yeah.
And she'll carry, no doubt, the flag and the North Coast vibe to the rest of the world and come back victorious, we hope. But in the meantime, you've created a new entertainment venue on the North Coast, the beginnings of, because there are many musicians that want to play gigs where people have come to listen and enjoy. It's so sad watching really good musicians playing what they call and we call street music at venues where people have come to eat a hamburger and talk nonsense to their mates and are not interested really at all in the music.
Yeah.
Other than it's a background sound, which is quite soul-destroying, because you might as well put on a playlist, you know, for all the love that it generates. But when it's a show, people come to listen and they pay for it.
And that's also a big reason why we don't want to be walking around and getting in the way and crossing the visuals on that. We want to just let the guys come and sit down and listen to some good tunes.
I think it's an excellent initiative. For a good cause, of course.
Yes.
And I wish you huge success. I hope I can persuade you to allow me to sneak in at the back.
Oh, please, come in. Yeah, of course.
Come and have a look. You know, I'd like to look at it.
No, come in, please. It's going to be great.
My very special guest, Judd Campbell. We're going to be playing out with Your last of the three that you've chosen today is just Ginger. What he means? What does he mean?
I still don't know, but I just love the tune.
Thanks for joining me.
Thank you very much.
Podcast, folks, so you can share the love and listen again on demand.